My sisters and brothers, in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, good morning and welcome. Welcome to our service of worship on this beautiful Lord's Day today. We are so glad that you are here with us this morning, whether you are here in the sanctuary, whether you are watching us live on our YouTube channel via Zoom, or you catch us in reruns several days from now. Either way, we are glad that you are here with us this morning. I do have a number of announcements I would like to lift up for you this morning. I hope you have been paying attention to the announcements on the screens also as they go by. Faith Formation today, the Forward Service Corporation, one of the ministry opportunities in our community. We will meet in the parlor. I hope you will be there and enjoy that. Men's breakfast every Wednesday at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Pump and Pantry, which I got to say is the weirdest name in the world. But having been there twice now, I will tell you the omelets are not bad. So seriously, men, if you're available at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday morning and you enjoy camaraderie, it's a good time. I invite you to be there. Vacation Bible School coming up. Will you be my neighbor? I think we're going to hear more about that soon. But anyway, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, information there. And then the Churchnick following it, which is a cool name, I got to say, the Churchnick. You know, it's a church picnic, but you got to admit, that's a cool name. I keep looking for an apostrophe in there after church and before Nick. Anyway, information is there about that. The back to school, the collection box. And I want to thank whoever is in charge of this for letting us put this here in the sanctuary. Two things. One, because of the vast crowd of people out in the narthex, it's easy to... Okay, that wasn't funny. Because of the vast crowd of people out in the narthex, it is sometimes easy to miss things like this box. But also, when we bring it up here, we're reminded that this is a gift to God. You know, this is not an altar. Jesus paid the sacrifice once for all time. We give sacrificially. But we do not have to be constantly sacrificing, bringing a sacrifice to an altar. This is a communion table where we commune with God and one another. But by bringing our gifts up here, we are reminding ourselves that this is a gift to God. And then it is being spread out to God's children. And, you know, if you don't want to come up here while I'm talking and draw attention to yourself, that's fine. I wouldn't do that either. Feel free to come up afterwards, drop your stuff in the box. That would be wonderful. It looks to me like it's about half full right now, so there's still time to make it go up and overflowing. I hope we will be able to do that. Newsletter articles due this Tuesday. Next Sunday, as we said, is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. The movie, we've had information about that. In your bulletins, you see the blue sheet, the blue insert. That is the same as the ugly marigold orange-colored sheet from last week. This is the work of our most recent General Assembly. Remember, we are the General Assembly, okay? We're a connectional church. Our church elects commissioners, representatives to go to presbytery meetings, presbyteries elect an equal number of pastors and ruling elders to go to General Assembly, which meets every 2 years. And being a very flat organization, there is very little that the presbytery can actually tell us to do. So the commissioners, the commissioners at the General Assembly will adopt statements, but we as a local church, we have the freedom to endorse them, to not endorse them, to ignore them altogether, whatever we feel good about. But at the very least, we really ought to stop and think, why did the commissioners that we had a hand in electing, why did they choose these policy positions? Why did they come out with these statements? So I hope you will pay attention to that. I'm almost done here. I want to thank our session. We had a very good organizational meeting, workday retreat yesterday. Please keep the leadership of our congregation, the session and the deacons, in your prayers. All leaders need prayers. And before you go, make a point of stopping and thanking someone who is behind the scenes in worship today. You know, there's a lot of balls in the air in a worship service. It doesn't happen by itself. It's because all these other people got together, made slides, put them up in the right time. I came in about, a few minutes past eight this morning, and Brother John was over here tapping on microphones, saying, test, test, why isn't this blasted microphone working yet? And things like that. All these things have to happen before the service. Have I forgotten anything? Have I forgotten anything, Chris? Have I forgotten anything? Nope. In that case, I'm going to recognize our congregational mission study team. Jolene Schry has an announcement for us. And then after that, we will go into preparing our hearts and minds to worship God with the ringing of the bell and the entrance of the light of Christ.
Good morning. In case you missed the exciting initial announcement last week, the Congregational Mission Study is made up of Deb Lorenz, Christina Arlano, myself, and our fearless leader, Pastor Ken. And the questions that you see up there are the questions that we are going to attempt to answer during our study. We will answer during our study process. You know, who were we 20 years ago, roughly, when we moved into this church? Who are we today? And then where does God want us to go? And then lastly, we'll look at what attributes would we like to see in our next pastor. The projected timeline is that next Sunday, July 31st, mark it on your calendar. You do not want to miss it. Deb and I will be presenting information on the church past and the church present, and also on the current needs of the community of Fond du Lac, what ways that we can practice ministry within Fond du Lac. And then we will hand out a survey. There'll be a paper survey handed out at the end of worship next Sunday. We would like that filled out and returned to us no later than August 14th. So that gives you 2 weeks. If you prefer the online, that will be available the following Wednesday on August 3rd. And that also we would like to have you complete prior or by August 14th. Then on August 28th, we will give you the results of the survey. And then from the month of September on, we're going to determine areas of ministry where we think the congregation wants to be headed, and also look at who we might like to look for our next pastor. So don't stay out too late next Saturday night. Set your alarm. Be here on the 31st.
Let us hear what the Lord our God speaks.
Speaks to God's people, to faith, to those who turn to God in their hearts.
Seeking peace in word, in song, and in prayer, let us worship God. We give you thanks with our whole hearts, O Lord. We thank you for your steadfast, always faithful love.
And when we increase in our strength and determination.
Though we may walk in the midst of troubles, we know you will preserve us from lurking evils. You protect us with your outstretched arms. God's salvation is at hand. That God's glory may dwell in us, turning towards God, let us confess the ways we have sinned. Gracious God, we humbly confess that we have fallen short of who you call us to be.
We seek peace and comfort in our lives, knowing the needs of those around us. We live our lives in ways of chaos and calamity to our
Cleanse us from sin and show us your steadfast love, so that in turning to you, we may seek unity and peace for all creation.
Beloved, God has forgiven all our debts, all our trespasses, and all our sins. We are alive together with God. Know that we are forgiven and be at peace. We believe the good news of God's love. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Alleluia. Amen. My friends, not only be at peace with God, but peace at peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you. Will you please take a moment to greet those around you with the offering of Christ's peace? Send a text or an emoji or something to someone who can't be here today. May be seated. Our Old Testament lesson this morning, again, is a rather long one, so Pete and I are going to read it as a dialogue. You will remember last week, Abraham sitting outside his tent, minding his own business. Suddenly, there are these three strangers who show up. And we get this lesson on hospitality. What does hospitality look like at that time? What does it look like for us today? Hospitality is a Christian virtue. But now these three people are going to go off and be about the business of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't trust what you've heard about it. Read the text yourself. Go home this afternoon. It follows right after the scripture lesson. Look it up in Genesis and read that story. But Pete and I are going to read God and Abraham's conversation with each other. So listen now for the word of God. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know."
So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?"
And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake."
Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to my Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5?
And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there."
Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there."
He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it."
Then he said, "Oh, do not let my Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there."
He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there."
He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to my Lord. Suppose 20 are found there."
He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it."
Then he said, Oh, do not let my Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there.
He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it.
The New Testament lesson is from the book of Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verses 6 through 19. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and the worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, as we've been reading this year. We're going to be in chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Listen now for the word of God. He, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. And I would like to invite the youngest of our disciples forward. Miss Jennifer has a few words for us this morning.
I think we need to do a little work on Jesus's hair. He's kind of getting. Well, today we're going to talk about prayer, and I want you to take a peek at this picture up here. This is taken a really long time ago, and that little boy that's there, that's my son. And if you look really close at his eyes, he's actually looking around, because he folded his hands and closed his eyes, but he wasn't sure how he was supposed to pray. Because if you're up in front here at church, everybody can see you, right? So he wanted to make sure he was doing it the right way. So have you ever had your eyes kind of squinted so they look like they're closed, but they're not closed and you're looking around? So I know this because I was there when this picture was taken. And he was looking around to make sure he was doing it right. Have you ever thought about that? Are you praying the right way? There's lots of different ways to pray, isn't there? Sometimes I close my eyes too, really tight, because sometimes I have things going on and I want to make sure that I'm really focusing on God. And sometimes I put my hands together, and that helps me to remember that I'm taking this time with God. Now, if I was praying while I was driving, saying a little prayer, would that be a good time for me to fold my hands and close my eyes? Probably not, right? But we have all these different ways that we can pray, and sometimes people will raise their hands to God, and sometimes we sing our prayers. Sometimes we say our prayers together out loud, and sometimes we have someone else who says our prayers. There are so many different ways that we can pray. The important part is that we open up our hearts to God, and that we talk to God, and that we listen to God. So if you ever find a time when you are looking around to make sure that you're praying the right way, I want you to remember that God just wants you to open up your heart to him. And I have a couple of good, really good books that if you want to look with mom and dad about. One of them is Am I Praying? It's all about a boy and his day that he went to school and actually went on a field trip. And it shows all the different times and ways he was praying. You know what? He was even praying when he brushed his teeth. I bet you there's some people here who've done that too. And this book talks about the right way to pray. It talks about all the different ways that there are to pray and that there's not one right way to pray. You need to find out the way that's best for you. And some days it'll be different than other days. But what's really important is that you take that time to talk to God each and every day. Let's take that time right now. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you give to us each and every day. We thank you for the love that you give us every single moment of our day. We ask that you would help us to connect with you while we're brushing our teeth, while we're driving our car, while we're sitting in our school day. Help us to find those times each and every day to connect with you, and more importantly, to find that time to listen to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Such great mercy come to us from heaven.
Please, please, friends, be seated. I hope when you were looking at your bulletin earlier that you noticed the information about that hymn that we just sang. And if you didn't, I hope you will take a moment later during the service to read that information. It really is very interesting where some of these hymns come from. In fact, there is a story. It's hard to prove in the historical record, but there's pretty good evidence that Martin Luther wrote our opening hymn. What was our opening hymn? A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Thank you. Anyway, the legend is that Martin Luther wrote that hymn while the Turks were knocking on the doors of Vienna, Austria. That is how far the Ottoman Turks had come, and that Luther, in response to the Turks' presence and the threat to Vienna, wrote this wonderful hymn to God about God being our fortress and the rock, the mighty fortress that we should depend on. So these hymns really are very interesting. I hope you'll take the time to read some more about them. But for the last several weeks during this time, we have been traveling with Jesus. We have been traveling with Jesus and his followers on the road to Jerusalem. And we know for Jesus, this is going to be his last trip to Jerusalem. When he gets there, he is going to be crucified. But along the way, he explains to his followers what it means to follow him. He wants everyone to know, well ahead of time, what following him entails. And so he is very clear that following him, walking the way of the cross, is not a part-time or a once-in-a-while project. Foxes have dens where they may rest their heads, but followers of Jesus have no vacation homes where they can stop being Christians for a while and forget about walking the way of the cross. Nor, Jesus says, can we put it off to an opportune time. No, if we are going to follow Jesus, we have to do it right here, right now, 24/7. We learn from the story of the Good Samaritan, following Jesus means loving God with everything we have and our neighbor as ourselves. And who is my neighbor? We asked. Anyone in distress is my neighbor. Even my enemy. Even my enemy. Last week, we looked at Mary and Martha. One of these two is busy, busy, busy. The other sits at Jesus' feet and learns about him and from him. So we who follow Jesus have to strike that balance. We honor Jesus by caring for others and through our worship, Bible study, and prayer life. The time we take to sit and get to know Jesus as a person, as a Savior. This morning, we look at what it means to be in relationship with Jesus. What's it all about, having a relationship with Jesus? I think it's safe to say that all of us here today know someone who is in a relationship, right? I mean, we all know someone who has a spouse or a partner or a significant other in their life. We all understand about being in a relationship. And when people are in a relationship, they talk to each other. Right? So how often do they talk to each other? What's the norm, do you think? Let's say someone tells you they're in a relationship, and you say, well, that's wonderful. How often do you talk to each other? Twice a year. What? Really? Well, yeah, twice a year, that's all we need. You go somewhere special, somewhere you can be alone and it's just the two of you? No, we don't need that. Twice a year, we meet somewhere in public, usually a big building with a lot of other people around. We hang out for an hour, and then we go our separate ways. If someone said that to us, we would say that was rather odd, wouldn't we? People in a loving, caring relationship who only talk to each other for an hour twice a year? Pretty strange. Talking, communicating, sharing with each other is an important part of a relationship. We know this. Communicating back and forth matters a lot. With God, we call this talking back and forth prayer. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking back and forth with God. Unfortunately, prayer and praying make some of us nervous. You know, we think there are special rules. We think there are special formulas and styles and things we should or shouldn't do or say when we are talking back and forth with God. But actually, there are no rules. Miss Jennifer explained that to us. There are seriously no rules. Some people like to stand up when they pray. Some people wave their arms and they get this feeling of excitement. Others prefer to sit while they're praying. They fold their hands and they sit in silence. Others prefer to pray kneeling, sometimes weeping, or perhaps with sighs too deep for words. Some people like to have their prayers written out ahead of time. Others prefer to wait for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Friends, it doesn't matter. Do what works for you. Do what works for you. There is no one way, there is no right way to pray. Look at Abraham, right? In our text this morning, he stands up and has a running dialogue with God. It almost sounds like he's haranguing God, doesn't it? But hey, you know, it worked for him. I get asked to pray a fair amount. I get asked to pray a lot. And yeah, honestly, I don't mind. In fact, I enjoy it. I've been very fortunate in my life. I've had the opportunity to pray for a wide variety of people in a lot of special places. And I'm honored to do it. But I know sometimes some people feel uncomfortable praying around me. They don't sound like me. Well, of course you don't sound like me, you know? You're you. I'm me. No one needs to sound like me. Sound like yourself. And remember, when you're listening to me praying, I'm praying in public. What you're hearing is my public style. But it's nothing like my private prayers. My private prayers, when I'm enjoying my devotionals in the mornings, are full of stutters and stops, meanderings and repeats. Don't judge your prayers by anyone else's. Do what works for you and God. The main thing is to be persistent. Be persistent. Pray and pray often. God wants to give us good things, the things we get when we're in a loving relationship with God. How often should we pray? No, I can't say. That's personal. But if you don't like your prayer life, if you don't like your prayer life, if your relationship with God is not what you want it to be, you're probably not praying enough. Praying is good. Talking back and forth to God helps us be in relationship with God. We should do it often. Should do it persistent. But what do we say? What do we say to God? Well, Jesus gives us an outline. Jesus gives us a good starting point to get us going in the right direction. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a good place to start. Lord, give us our daily bread. What is the bread I really need today? Am I angry at God because I keep getting whole wheat when I'm asking for donuts? Do I have some bread I should be sharing with someone else? Lord, do you want me to share my bread today? Lord, forgive our sins. But Lord, I am having a hard time forgiving my neighbor. Yes, yes, I started that argument, but she didn't have to push it that far. Lord, help me forgive my neighbor. If you don't know what to say, the Lord's Prayer is a good place to start. And while we're on the subject, are we doing all the talking? Are we doing any listening? You know, what's that old expression, we all have two ears and one mouth for a reason? Right? Are we listening to God? God is talking to us all the time, but are we listening to God's wavelength? You remember these radios? Not the push button type, where you preset your frequency, but where you have to tune that dial. Remember that? Gosh, y'all are old. You have to tune that radio just right to hear your favorite station. Listening to God is a lot like listening to those old radios. We have to tune ourselves to God's wavelength. Prayer is about talking to God, sure. But prayer is also about tuning ourselves to God's wavelength. It's about tuning ourselves to hear what God is saying to us and receiving all the good things God is giving to us. In the 1970s, there was a popular gospel song called Turn Your Radio On. Anybody remember that? Okay, all right, yes, turn your radio on, okay. Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty host of heaven sing, turn your radio on, turn your radio on. If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that his love can bring, turn your radio on, turn your radio on. Friend, is your radio on? Are you tuned to God's wavelength? Communication is something we all struggle with. We all struggle with it, both in our human relationships and in our divine relationship. There is no one right, perfect way to communicate. We all have to sort of stumble along until we find one that works for us, including in our relationship with God. But once we have that way, that style that works for us, we know once or twice a year is not going to cut it. Good relationships need a lot of communication. We have to work at it. We have to be persistent. We have to do it all the time. However we speak to God, know this. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us. Friend, is your radio on? Are you tuned to the right wavelength? Amen. Let us together enter into a time of prayer. Mighty God of mercy, we thank you for this new day, bringing the glory of our risen Lord who makes every day new. Especially we thank you, God, for the mission and ministry of the Church Universal, for our denomination, for our presbytery, and for all of our leaders, both of the General Assembly, the Synod, the Presbytery, and here in our own congregation. We thank you for every service that proclaims your love. And we pray that we who leave worship today will again remember that we serve a God who loves us so very much. We thank you for the people and the relationships that sustain us, our friends, our family, our friends of the moment. We thank you for our calling to daily discipleship. Lord, to whom may we minister today? We thank you for the signs of new life and hope about us, both in the life of our own congregation and in the results of new rain, the green grass, the cool weather. Merciful God of might, renew your weary world. Heal the hurts of all your children and bring about your peace for all in Christ Jesus, the living Lord. Especially we pray for your church in every land. Today, especially, we hold up our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and the surrounding countries, especially in Russia. May your peace flow through them. We pray for our stewardship and the healing of creation. We hold up our brothers and sisters in this country and in Europe especially, who are suffering through this ongoing wave of heat. It's what they told us would come, Lord, if we ignored the environment long enough. Now, Lord, help us to bring healing to your gift of creation. We pray for our friends, our family members. We hold up especially the members and friends of our fellowship. We remember in your holy love and blessing Gary, Pete, Pat, and Gib, Arnold, Nancy, and Pauline. We ask your ongoing mercy on Chastity and Joan, Jerry and Mary, Jane, Silas, Jesse, and Ruth, and all those who care for them, who love them, who care so deeply about them. We pray for our neighbors in special needs, those whose needs are known in the silence of our hearts, and we thunder into your ears. We pray for those who serve your mission, wherever it may be in this world. Eternal God, our beginning and our end, be our starting point and our haven. Accompany us in this day's journey. Use our hands to do the work of your creation, and use our lives to bring others the new life you give this world in Jesus Christ, Redeemer of all, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we enter a time of offering, I'm going to recognize Brother John first for a brief announcement about Raise the Roof, and then whoever is bringing the back to school announcement, you will follow next, please.
Good morning. I'm John Neville, the treasurer, and on the operations team. And today's an exciting day as we're going to give away $250 worth of raffle tickets if you have guessed the right number of shingles that were used on the roof. So we're going to pick the winner approximately 10:30 today. And if you have not donated and you want to give me a or give the church today a donation, please see me. I'll be in the back there by the Welcome Center, and I'll give you a card. If I gave you a card already and you forgot it at home or didn't send me an email or a voicemail or anything about your pick, please stop by and see me, and we'll give you a new card and have you do a new pick. So it's going to be at 10:30. You don't have to be there to win the gift cards. So we appreciate all the support. We're up around $40,000. So, and we're almost done with the roof. And we've got some other projects around the church that we're working on for the summer, soffit lights and some other things that gutters and things like that. So any questions? But we're going to pick the winners around 10:30. And if you forgot your card, see me. I'll give you another one. You can do your pick. But good luck. And again, thank you for all your donations and support of our church.
Starting to look like back to school time. The stores have their displays and sales has started on school supplies. And with the cost of everything going up, it's anticipated this year that many families need your help. Every child deserves to have the supplies they need for the education, to feel confident in a room with their peers and be prepared for the school year. Having the proper school supplies plays a big part in students' self-esteem and classroom participation. Back to School Fond du Lac supplies each student with the actual supplies that are on their classroom list, giving them the right start to the school year. Back to School Fond du Lac started in 1995 as a First Presbyterian Church, along with the Ascension Lutheran and the Salvation Army of Fond du Lac, worked together to develop the program. Over the years, many other churches and the community joined in on the program. Back to School Fond du Lac focuses on the children in the local area who need assistance with obtaining school supplies for the upcoming year.
School supplies are available to all children who reside in Fond du Lac County and are eligible for free or reduced lunch, which includes households whose income is at or below 1.85 times the federal poverty level. Last year, 1,270 students were served. And with all that is going on this year, the need will be greater. A list of needs is available in the narthex, and collections may be brought through August 7th to this collection box in the sanctuary. Monetary donations can be placed in the offering plate or through the church website. Watch the Wednesday updates or the Back to School website for a link to help sort or distribute supplies.
What is the world like when God's will is done? Mustard seeds grow more than we can conceive. Roots through the branches reach forth.
are simply returning to you part of what you gave to us. But we know you will take this part, and you will multiply it, and you will use it to share the good news that we have found of the God who loves us so deeply and so well. We ask this in the name of Jesus, the Holy One. Amen. Fellowship time, faith formation, following afterwards, lots of opportunities, ways to engage in ministry and mission in our congregation. Mission study team, I will see you back here in the church office in just a few minutes. And we're going to do this as a round. You're going to lead, and you're going to lead. This is going to be exciting. Friends, talk to God. Talk to one another, but talk to God. So I charge you now, turn your radio on. Fiddle with that dial until you're on God's wavelength, because God has some marvelous good news to share with us. Friends, take this good news now out into the world. And as you do so, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord God this day and every day lift his holy countenance upon you and grant you God's own peace. And so let all God's people say, Alleluia, Amen.
Shalom, can we be?